Please stand in body or in spirit. When we ask, "What have you to do with us, Jesus?"
Even then, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, pursues us and sets us free.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take time and silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have left and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Church of God,
us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from Isaiah, the 65th chapter. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that did not call my name. I held out my hands all day to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside of tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abdominal things in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together," says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord. As the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it," so I will do for my servant's sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to read responsively with me from Psalm 22. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen, that you have rescued me.
I will tell you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he did not despise the Lord in affliction and afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him.
The poor shall satisfied. Those who see him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him.
For to him belongs the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
The second reading comes from Paul's letters to the Galatians, the third chapter. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so what we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to the disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
When Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes by boat, after they escaped a late night storm, which is opposite Galilee, as Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." Legion, for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there was on the hillside a herd of swine that was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise.
You may be seated. And though I'm not preaching on it, I do want to raise it, declare how much God has done for you. And this man says, goes out and declares how much Jesus had done for him. This man recognized the divinity of Jesus Christ before many others. So I have to say, the moment that Jesus stepped out on the land, it was over for the legion. The moment Jesus stepped out on land, the legion is defeated. And that is no small feat, because a legion in these times was considered to be about 3,000 to 5,000 Roman soldiers. So if you have a legion of demons, Jesus was about to defeat 3,000 to 5,000 demons-ish. The moment Jesus steps out on land, the legion is defeated. The land that Jesus was stepping on in this case is the country of the Gerasenes. It is a place where Jesus is not yet well known. And there's no reason that he would have been at this point. Jesus would have been more well known in the Jewish lands, yes. But this is Gentile territory. It is a new territory for Jesus and his ministry. And yet, somehow, when Jesus steps into this land for the first time, there is a man there, a man who has been excluded, a man who no longer lives in a house, a man who has been shackled and chained, to no avail, by the way. He keeps escaping. A man who now lives among the tombs, a man who has been completely cut off from society. And this man, somehow, knows who Jesus is. And I wonder, is it the man who recognizes Jesus or is it the demons who recognize Jesus? Is it the demons now experiencing the presence of Jesus Christ? Is it too much for them to bear to be in the presence of the divine? The demons begin crying out for release. The demons who have long been abusing this man's body are now using it to cry out to Jesus. And I think that they are right to be afraid. And if you've only heard this text once, which most of you probably have not, you would probably say that you didn't see what happens next coming. It's a twist when Jesus allows these demons to enter these pigs, right? The pigs who then rush down the hillside and into the sea below. These poor pigs. The moment Jesus steps out onto the land, the legion and apparently an entire herd of unsuspecting swine is now defeated. This is a very strange scene. In all of its weirdness and chaos, it's easy for us to lose sight of the one who has long been lost sight of. I don't know if that's a sentence. It is the same one that Jesus has never lost sight of, and that is this man. This man who now, with the demons gone, is simply a man. He is no longer a demon-possessed man. He is no longer a demoniac. He is no longer defined by what is wrong with him. He is simply a man. And when we look upon him as a man, not as some scarcely human vessel with demons inside of him, we become aware of what we have been doing to this man for far too long. We chained this man, we shackled him, we kept him under guard, and when he broke free, when he ran away, when he took up residence in the tombs, literally living among the dead, we didn't try to retrieve him. Why would we have tried to retrieve him? Out in the tombs, he's away from us. He's no longer causing us problems. He's better out there in the tombs than with us. There is some comfortable degree of separation between him and us. He is out there on the set edges of society, and he is out there on the edges of our minds. We no longer have to think about this man that we can't constrain with shackles and chains. And that helps us live peacefully. It helps us sleep well at night. Jesus, on the other hand, and I think the understatement of forever, Jesus, on the other hand, is not like us. He steps directly out of the boat and into the edges of society. He sees this man and he sees the pain. He sees the man and he sees the pain and the torment that these demons are inflicting on this man. Not just a demon-possessed man, a man and his demons. Legion or not, the moment Jesus steps out on land, the legion is defeated. Because Jesus separates this man from his demons. He sees the man apart from the demons that are torturing him. And then he literally separates this man from his demons. He takes the demons out of this man. He allows them to go into the swine. Swine plummet into the sea below. But this man is now liberated from his demons. Jesus, in stepping out on land and directly into the edges of society, in seeing this man as a man, not as a demoniac, not as a Gentile, not as one who needed to be shackled and constrained or separated from society, but as a man, in doing this, Jesus returns him to wholeness, to wholeness. One of our problems in modern times with biblical texts like this one is this idea of demons. It's likely that many of us don't view demons in the same way that the ancients understood demons. Unlike them, we like to think that we can explain everything, right? This is a rationalist culture. It is a culture that likes to use reason and logic to explain things. We reason, we logically deduce that this man is out here on the edges of society by something of his own doing. He is alone and naked by a demon of his own making, likely a nefarious demon that he himself has invited into his own life. I will let your imagination take you to what some of these modern day demons might be, but we are good at seeing them, we are good at naming them, but we certainly, I don't think, would call them legion. There's a problem with us modern people, though. We think we can explain everything, but I don't think we can. Rationalists, I don't think, are as smart as we think we are. Modern, emphasis here on modern. This is not some 15th century Lutheran theologian. This is a modern Lutheran theologian. Her name is Sarah Henrich. She describes demons in this way. Invisible powers whose activities range from annoyance to harassment, to destruction. I like this explanation of demons because I think the ancients would agree with it. I think it aligns with an ancient understanding of demons. They are invisible powers, powers we cannot necessarily see, powers that we can't explain, powers that annoy us, harass us, and sometimes destroy us, destroy our lives. Destroy the lives of those around us. Understood this way, I think demons are absolutely everywhere, legions upon legions of them in this world. As I said, some of them are close by, families, friends, loved ones. They know demons. Demons are nearby. We personally have felt, experienced, probably no demons within ourselves. But there are also demons far beyond us, out there, and that is by design. They live out there and away from us. We send them away to the tombs, to the outskirts, to the edges, away. Sometimes locked away literally from us because out of sight and out of mind helps us sleep at night. One thing I noticed about this text is Jesus spends very little time in the country of the Gerasenes. It's almost as if Jesus shows up here for no other reason to meet this man. A man who simply by existing has worth in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus shows up to meet this one man who simply by existing has worth in the eyes of Jesus. A man whose society has nevertheless cast aside for its own convenience, for its own comfort, because it has decided that this man is beyond all help. The demons are simply too powerful for them to deal with. But here's where we find all sorts of good news. The demons are not too powerful for Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. The moment Jesus steps out on land, these demons are defeated. So I must ask, and I think we must ask, as a society, as a people, as a church, where do the demons live? Where do they live? No. Well, I don't think you're going to get a lot of people to argue with you there, but we're not going to go there today. Where do the demons live? In these places, there are people, and I must say, Beth, you're not going to like this. In these places, these people, simply by existing, have worth in the eyes of Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Oh, no, right? If you can see someone, they have worth in the eyes of Jesus, and therefore they ought to have worth in our eyes too. So as I scan this sanctuary, I see a whole bunch of people that have worth in the eyes of God. And if you look around, just take a minute. I know it's uncomfortable. You're supposed to look at me, but I'm going to turn this way so you can't see my face. If you look, there's a whole bunch of people here who have worth in the eyes of Jesus, the Most High God. When we choose not to see people, not to know people, not to encounter people as Jesus encounters people, it becomes oh so easy for us to deny their humanity and to define them by the demon or by the legion of demons that have invaded their lives. My dear siblings in Christ, we know what it is to be liberated by Jesus Christ. There is a cross right there, and every time we see it, we should think to ourselves, that is what liberated us from the demons. That is what liberated us from sin. That is what liberated us from death. And it is what frees us to go out and do all of the things that we don't want to do and do all the things that are really hard for us to do, but we are nevertheless called to do, like proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And we proclaim the name of Jesus to the ends of the earth. That includes to the tombs. And it includes to the invisible and forgotten edges of our society and our communities. Communities just like this one. And I keep hearing here in Galleon, there's a place out west in a park where there are a bunch of homeless people who are perhaps invisible and forgotten. Better there than here, right? So, be of good courage, knowing that when we show up, when we answer this call to seek out these places, when we step into these places, we certainly do not do so alone. There is power, I repeat, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. So the moment we step into these places, the moment Jesus steps into these places by our sides, humanity is revealed. We see the humanity in another. They see the humanity in us. They see Jesus revealed in us. A legion is defeated and liberation becomes known to all. Amen. Flummoxed her.
Thank you.
using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father
Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What additional prayers are there to add today? Jack Jr. Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the church, for the world, and for all of creation.
We pray for the church. Clothe us in Christ. Shower us in mercy. Send us in love. Strengthen the faith and witness of Christians across the globe, especially the churches of the Lutheran World Federation, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jordan and the Holy Land, and Christians in our community, especially Trinity Lutheran, First Presbyterian, St. Paul Lutheran Sulphur Springs, and our partner congregation, St. Paul Lutheran North Robinson. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We pray for people in need. Satisfy all who are poor. Soothe those in pain. Accompany all who are sick. We lift especially this day Teresa, Tammy, Joyce, Betty, Chuck, Fred, Judy, Jean, Krista, Dave, AJ, Caden and his family, Linda, Haley, Sandy, Scott, Ed, Tina, Bobby, Jim. We lift those with pressing health concerns this day, Jack Jr., Landon, and Jesse. And for those who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Give perseverance to those living with mental illness and shield us from discrimination due to race, class, gender, or any other human distinction. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We pray for this assembly, First Lutheran Church. Listen to our cries. Come to our aid, make us one with one another and our ministry partners. Weave among us the fabric of belonging so that we rejoice in each person gathered here and those of us who are missing from this space today, and enliven our proclamation of how much you have done for us. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you to bring calm and peace to this world that continues to move further and further into war. We ask that those who are in harm's way may be kept safe. We ask that you continue to lead us towards paths of diplomacy whenever possible. And we ask that this world return to a place of stabilization and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. gifts and our offerings. I still need them.
Let us pray. Creator God, in your wisdom, you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give your thanks and your praises.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you. Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life, and so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to all to eat, saying to his disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set here before you. Eat and rejoice.
Thank you.
body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Sustaining God, you gathered us to your table and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen. So Jeff, I have to say thank you for caring about my comfort while I'm up here and preaching. But Pastor Paul over here shared that he never got the pleasure of air conditioning. He always preached in 90-degree churches. I need air conditioning, though. I do get very excitable when I preach. Lydia reminds me of that all the time. Anyway, so we will be moving to a monthly newsletter here in the hopefully short term as we work together with Teresa, and she manages her health issues. So please bear with us on that, and please continue to keep Teresa in your prayers. The office remains open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have folks that have signed up for that, and thank you very much for those who are willing to take a turn in the office. This week, I will not be in the office. I will be in some 90-degree weather at Scout Camp. I am available for pastoral care emergencies, so please reach out to me by call or text, and I am not all that far away. So, yes, sir.
Since you're on that subject, we've got another one that's going to Scout Camp this week.
You're going to Scout Camp this week?
Have a little prayer of blessing for those.
Yes, let's do that. And and then the week after that,
yes,
we'll be going to another camp, as Lydia and Ben will be as well, going to Hopewood Outdoors. So with that, I will be out that week as well, because I'll be down at Hopewood. Anyway, last time that I was so exhausted when I, never mind. All right. So community breakfast this Saturday, June 28th, 9 a.m. You are all invited here for that. And then next Sunday, June 29th, here at First Lutheran, you will come here. We will worship jointly with St. Paul Lutheran in from North Robinson. We will afterwards have an ice cream social. If you had any of Mike's ice cream last year, I think did they twist your arm to do that, Mike? Anyway, Mike's making some homemade ice cream again for that. It was great last year. Look forward to that. It will be, have a light lunch and ice cream and a few other desserts. So please invite all your friends who decided to sleep in or go on vacation today. Remind them that we're having that next week, and we look forward to worshiping together with our friends in Christ from St. Paul. Before we move on to a blessing for our scouts, any other announcements this morning? Norm, you're not turning 90 again, are you? You already did that. All right. So, Ben, why don't you come up here? You're going to scout camp. Yeah, get up here. All right, Abby, yep. See, you're together. All right, then you'll walk over here by Ben. So let's pray a prayer of blessing over, where are you going to camp? Molly, I have no idea what that means. Where is that? Lucasville, Ohio? I still don't know where that is, but down, I understand down. Okay. So, a prayer for our scouts. Good and gracious God, thank you for the gift of this day. And thank you for the gift of this week, the gift of scouting and for our youth. We thank you for leaders and everyone involved in these organizations that help to grow, shape, and mold our youth into the young adults that they are becoming. Please be with them this week as they deal with maybe some higher temperatures. May the food be good and filling, and may all that they encounter this week, may these youth be a blessing to all they encounter, and may they be blessed so that they come back from camp enriched and fulfilled. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just stay right where you are. You all may stand now, in body or in spirit, please. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Christ has set you free from the bonds of sin and death.
Go forth and declare how much God has done for you.
We will.